Right. Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Web3 101 Talk Show. I am your host, Yinka. Today we have with us Anush from MetaPass and the entire MetaPass team as well. We'll be having a really fun conversation going over what MetaPass is, the problem they solve, and just, you know, talking about what it means and what the future of ticketing in Web3 is all about. Anush, thank you for joining us. It's such a pleasure to have you here. Do you mind telling our audience about who you are, what you do, and all of that cool stuff?
I'm Anush, co-founder and CEO of MetaPass. We're an NFT ticketing platform that allows you to easily create events and sell NFT tickets to the events without even knowing anything about crypto or Web3. And you can also share those events with your friends or your audience, and you can mentor any of your tickets, and you can make more money for those events because of pre-sales and NFT royalties. So that's basically what we do.
Awesome, cool. Thank you for that quick intro. You're talking about making money and people getting paid. So I'm curious, how does MetaPass get their own incentive, or how do you, how is there a revenue program from there, from your end? Do you take percentage off of the sales? Are there stuff that you do that sort of like gets the money into the bag from the MetaPass end?
Yeah, so our goal was not to make sort of a predatory, model where, if you see big ticketing companies, they will take like say 30% or something of your revenue, which is like a lot, right? Especially if you're a small organizer. So so what we decided was we created option. So either you can pay us monthly subscription or $12, mostly if you're doing a lot of recurring events, it's very useful for you. Or if you're doing a larger event, you can we basically take 1% of your ticket price. So that brings down it gives the event organizer a lot more revenue, right? Compared to what other platforms are doing at 30%.
Yeah, 1% is a pretty good deal from a creator's perspective. Having a platform that works, that is integrated with Huddle. So there's so many things you as an event planner do not have to worry about, all for just a 1% stake from MetaPass. I'll say that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it is.
Cool. So what were some of the challenges you experienced and that made you build MetaPass, and how did any of these things inform the specific way MetaPass is built? Like, you must have had something that, this is just terrible UX, this is just, very bad experience, we want something that does this, and we're going to build this, and it's going to look just the way we want it to be, and it's going to solve this problem, it's going to not have this hiccup, it's not going to do this and that. So What challenges do you feel that affected, one, the creation of MetaPass, and two, the design UI UX choices?
Yeah, so the creation, it just started from, we saw this opportunity for using the true, utility of NFTs, right? People had seen Bored Ape Yacht Club, people had seen Degen Apes, but they had not seen the true utility of NFTs, which is coming out now because it is a bear market, right? So, no one is selling 10K NFT collections. People are, only using something that is, giving value to them. So that's kind of how, there was a reason why we went into this. The other thing was that, the tools that are available to do something like this, they were very technical. They were, they required you write code or understand some of the underlying mechanism and, architecture. That felt like a lot of work for, someone who just wanted to create events and sell tickets to the events.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, OpenSea, the UI is kind of like not very good. And then you have
Yeah.
to understand gas fees and all of that stuff. So, you know, that it's complicated, right? So we were like, you know, we want to make this thing and we want to make it like it's a platform that you already know how to use, right? It's like something already you're familiar with. And that's the vision that we had, and that's what we've executed on, and that's what we will continue to execute on.
That is so cool. So it was an attempt to broaden all of the use cases that NFTs provided, and that was why Metapass was built. It's like, oh, hey, this is more than just art and just like, you know, fun stuff. There is actual utility to this that can serve this ecosystem and, like, you know, aid a lot of events that will be happening. And so, like, Metapass was birthed out of a need to expose all of the extra utilities, all of the extra things that NFTs can do. That's right. Cool. So you don't particularly have an experience or, like, in the real life, IRL in real life, as like an event planner, and you're like, you know what, it would be fun to have a much simpler version of this on the blockchain per se.
Yeah, so I have not planned events, but I've definitely been to a lot of events. You know, I live in Goa, and you know, a lot of events happen here. A lot of sports events, cultural events happen here, and I've like seen some of these problems. You know, like I've seen a lot of these fake tickets being sold outside the stadium. You know, people getting kind of conned over there. I've seen that. And I've also seen, like, you know, like these overcrowding at venues and stuff. And you know, like, we know that, like, NFTs with their, like, you know, the authenticity factor of them, we can ensure that these fake tickets never actually enter the system, and, you know, people don't get conned. So yeah, that's one of the main benefits.
Cool. You know, again, I think it's really, really cool what you guys are doing over at Metapass. It's really cool. One of the things I like that you said was that the process to creating an NFT for just someone who wants to run an event was just ridiculous with the current infrastructure we had prior to Metapass. It's like, you know, the whole OpenSea business, the whole writing of smart contracts, and then, you know, deploying the contract to mainnet, you know, figuring out do I want to use Ethereum or Polygon. It was just a lot of process for someone who just wants to plan an event, get people to pay for the event, and like token gate the event or gate the event in some type of way, you know, prevent anyone else from coming in, but ensuring that it has the widest reach possible, which is also one of the things Metapass does. It's like, here's a link, you can pass it around to anyone who wants it, and then you can pay for it, and then you can get into this event.
Yeah, it's as simple as that.
Cool. So, you know, the name, you know, fairly obvious, I think, in my head, Metapass, Meta, Metaverse, pass into the Metaverse. But is that accurate, you know, or what were your thoughts when you guys came up with the name for Metapass?
Yeah, that is very accurate. Like, that's kind of what we had in our mind. We also wanted it to be something like, you know, like a verb. Like, you know, like you can say, like, here, yeah, go get your Metapass. So, like,
yeah.
You wanted it to be something like that also. So,
yeah.
That's why we went with the name.
Yeah, that is cool. Ah, so I got it correctly. That's nice. So, again, speaking of use cases, and one of the things we were talking about NFTs is that there are so many more things that can be built with NFTs. And one of them is tickets that have been done. Another one is having them as just utilities and stuff. What more could we use NFTs for besides these obvious ones that we have in front of us right now? So that is tickets and art and what else? Non-transferable certifications and stuff. What other really cool things can we build on top of NFTs?
Yeah, I mean, NFTs... lots of things. I actually feel NFTs are kind of underexplored, and DeFi is overexplored. So NFTs, like for example, you can create, you know, rental NFTs, right? Like, you can say, like, you buy an NFT and you only own it for a specific period of time, and then that can be used for, say, you know, access to like a certain service in Web3, right? Like could be like you buy like in Web2 you have Stripe, right, where you pay for something and then you have access to that product for like a month, right? So maybe in Web3 we don't have Stripe, so maybe you could buy an NFT and an NFT expires after a month, and then when you have the NFT you can access the product. So that's another like, you know, really good use case.
Oh, that is actually quite interesting. So it's like a time trial period access type thing. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So if you don't claim the product you are going to purchase, you know, the NFT obviously disappears, and then, you know, they have to repurchase that item, right?
Yeah. So if you don't pay, then the, you know, the NFT will just expire, right? So you don't get the product. So it's like a subscription service.
So using NFTs as subscription services. Yes. Yo, that is actually, so NFTs for like Spotify and stuff. So once you do not renew your subscription, your NFTs expire. And if it expires, it means you don't have access to that product anymore.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to have NFTs as like subscription services for DAOs, for example, right? So if you have like a community of people that you happen to, you know, maybe charge on a monthly, what's it called? And NFTs are ways to token gate it. That I've never actually thought about. You know what? I will be writing those down, and perhaps I might build the next $1 billion.
Yeah, definitely.
That's cool. I think so. What ERC token standard does MetaPass use for your NFTs as you issue them, and why that standard? So ERC 721 or 1155, which of them, or which other one do you guys use?
Yeah, so we use ERC-721. As to why we use it, like, the 721 standard, it's completely unique, right? Whereas 1155, it's like, you know, you have the option to make it like either completely unique tokens or, you know, tokens that are similar, so it can be both,
right?
So we didn't, you know, really feel that that is like an advantage to having the same type of tokens. So we wanted to go fully unique, so that's why we went with the 721 format.
So technically ERC-1155 tokens aren't real non-fungible tokens.
It's a mix of both, right?
Like it's a mix of both. Yeah. So they're not, they aren't OGs like 721 that are like absolute non-fungibles and stuff. So one interesting use case, why would I want in a fungible token if I decide to go with a design system of the ERC-1151? What tool will I be building that will make me want to have like multiple NFTs and not unique ones?
It could be because, like, let's say you wanna like have an NFT, right? Like you have a 721 NFT or something, and you wanna split it up into many pieces, right? And you wanna keep that supply fixed, right? So then you can use this 1155 thing where you can like split up one NFT into 100 different NFTs, and that will be a fixed amount. So you know, you basically fractionalized it. So that can be done using an N55.
Okay, cool. That's cool. So that is cool. Secondly, these are just like me going back and forth and just picking your brains and like some interesting questions. Again, we asked this question yesterday when you guys launched to Solana. How was the experience like from a technical perspective, right? How was the experience like?
Technical experience was, very, very, like a lot of work, like, Solana are quite complicated compared to Ethereum. So we had to, you know, do a lot of testing to make sure that it absolutely works. And, even then we keep fixing bugs every now and then. We keep making sure that the service is working perfectly. We spent a lot of time designing the contracts for the minting and stuff, and it was quite a bit more complicated than Ethereum, but like, you know, we got it done, so that's good.
Mm. So if you could start all over, would you rather have launched on Solana first as opposed to an EVM blockchain? Or what you've done and the process you've followed works 100%?
No, I feel like having done Ethereum first is good because it allowed us to like get off the ground faster and like just get started.
Right. So if you were to start all over again, what would you do different? What are three things you would do differently across the board?
Yeah, so I definitely like make sure to learn like how do you build a social media brand better, because I like that's something that we kind of ignored in the beginning, because we are developers, we focus more on the code and the building and stuff. So that's definitely one thing that I wish I'd focused on more in the beginning. And also like the second thing I can say is probably hiring people to write better content for us. Like I again, I underestimated the importance of content, because it helps communicate your vision to the community, right, the audience. So that's definitely another thing.
Yeah, that is so true. Because one of the things that I find interesting in this space, and I think in technology as a whole, is how, and I mean no offense to developers, because I have my leg in two of these places as an engineer, as someone who handles a lot of community building efforts. We overestimate the importance of engineers and underestimate the importance of people who build brands. Because if no one hears about your product, no one is going to use your product. It doesn't matter how technically sound it is, you know? And one of the many ways people get to hear about your product, especially in this very competitive space, is for you to talk about it. It's for you to build a brand. It's for you to write, make videos, push our content, and make great awareness. And so we focus on the engineering bit. It's like what I want to build, and 100%, of course, and way less on the on the tool, on how to reach to people we are building for, right? It's like, okay, I'm building for person A. How exactly do I get person A to know about my product, this tool that's supposed to make their life easier? Like, yeah, no, we'll worry about that some other time. But let's build first, and worry about that some other time. So, how do you think that has affected how you see building a software company in general?
Yeah, it's it definitely like took a sort of a me to like kind of change tracks from this just code focus to like more general focused perspective, where I'm looking at all the other factors also, building the brand. So yeah, like learning from companies that have previously been successful. Look at other companies that even we've partnered with, like Huddle. I think they've done a really good job of like building the brand also simultaneously with the tech. And that's something that we are trying to learn from them, and we're also trying to incorporate those principles to like our brand. So yeah, it's a goal.
Cool. Must be a very interesting and maybe even humbling experience. I know it's in a humbling experience for me when I started getting into a lot of community building. I started getting into a lot of community building and from a much more technical, introverted career path, and going out and talking to people like I am talking with you, and like reaching out and talking on Discord servers and reaching out and hiring people and stuff. It was very humbling. It still showed me a lot of my shortcomings. And but it was also a really fun growth experience. So what does the future look like for MetaPass? It's like, besides what I know, this is a very niche domain, and perhaps it is important that it is a niche domain, but are there plans to look out into other things that might be very similar to what is currently being done, you know, as a subset of MetaPass, you know, as the future manifests itself?
Yeah, so in terms of like the future, we have big plans for MetaPass. So we want to make it like the biggest ticketing platform in Web3, and also outside of Web3. We want to like that it's kind of hard right now, but if we want to show the world, like the power of NFTs, like what you can actually do with them. Like, they're not just pictures of monkeys. There's actually some use to them, and can show them like how it's actually beneficial to them. So that's like the goal, and you know, we want people to like think of, when they think of like ticketing in the future, they should think of like MetaPass. That's the goal. And in the future, we can see this being used not just for like events in, you know, offline space or online space, but even, you know, getting things like, you know, you could sell a pass to maybe your content, right? Maybe you have some really high value content that you've spent hours researching on and writing, and you wanna get paid for it, and you wanna give people access to it, right? So maybe you could sell passes to your content, right? So maybe that, you know, in the future there's a possibility of that. So I think in the future this will be a lot bigger than we can imagine right now.
Yeah, super excited for the future of MetaPass, for the future of Web3 as a whole. Before we just proceed any further, if there's anyone in the audience who would like to ask Anoush any form of questions concerning crypto, concerning Web3, concerning NFTs, and like building in this space, what has been some of the interesting experiences they've had, please feel free to raise up your hand to speak. We'll be more than happy to bring you on board, and like you can ask whatever questions you are so inclined to ask. But yes, back to MetaPass and the future. I am very excited about, because, you know, every single week I get to talk to impressive builders like yourself who are doing really cool stuff. And it's exciting to know that real world applicable problems are being solved and are being taken on the blockchain, right? MetaPass is very, the structure is very familiar to me. There's a company we have here in Nigeria, in Africa, called Tix Africa. It's exactly a ticketing selling service, right? But this is built in a centralized network, and it's run by centralized services. And so I understand when I see something like MetaPass solving a problem and it's making use of the blockchain technology and, you know, saving so many things and taking the utility of NFTs and using it to, you know, create a token gated event and like, oh, hey, you know, once you show us your wallet address and then we'll let you in. If this NFT exists on your wallet address, then cool. If it doesn't, then I'm sorry. You know, for a metaverse to exist as a whole, having things like this, having products like this that you are building and so many other amazing builders are building is really, really, really cool. So I commend you for the awesome work, sir.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. So have rounding up, coming to like the close of this session, what is that one question? Now, before I get to that, what is the one thing that gets you really excited about MetaPass when you wake up in the morning?
Yeah, man, like the possibilities that I just discussed about, like, you know, we can impact so many like events, and you know, just being like a big name in the future, that's what gets me excited, and it's absolutely a pleasure to like be building something like this.
Awesome, cool, very impressive. Again, thank you for your time. Thank you everyone in the audience for stopping by. This was a really fun session, learning about the MetaPass team, learning about everything that's being built. Super excited and super bullish for what you guys are doing. Huge shout out, huge well done from my end and from the DappList team. This was fun.